We are going to be in Psalm 16. I do not have many notes. Psalm 16 does not need many notes. Psalm 16 preaches itself pretty well. I think that I should get out of the way and we should just read 16 and go home full of response in blessing the Lord. So we're going to walk verse by verse, just exponentially walk through the text today. But I promise you, it is okay to respond in the middle of the sermon with a good, like, amen, I agree, because David is preaching here. He's preaching to himself. He preached to me through the last month studying, and hopefully he's going to preach to you today. Psalm 16 is a unique psalm in that it's a place where he is crawling out in uncertain times, but this is not like some of the other psalms where it's a specific place that he's crying out in a specific crisis, like, Lord, in this specific time, I need you to be my shield, my fortress, and my refuge. This is, it seems to be like a psalm of David, like, that maybe he's saying often is just like a normal practice of, I need to take refuge, I need a fortress, I need security. In uncertain times, Lord, I need you. So just a petition of his heart that was probably a song that he sang often, Lord, I need to find shelter and shadow underneath your wings, I need to find refuge. I think that this is something that we too could relate to in uncertain times, would you agree? And in times where you feel very much out of control, and if you don't feel out of control, sit with us later. Let us tell you how little control you do have. We are not in control. I am not in control. For a non-believer in this room, that can leave you uneasy. But David here is going to encourage us that put that unease away. There is a shadow and a refuge, a fortress that you can lean on who holds your lot, establishes your line, its beautiful places, and you have somebody at your right hand and you will not be shaken. So that is the goal today. We're going to use David's Psalm 16. It's going to become our own psalm. And by the end, I pray that you're singing it like Jesus sang it all the way to Calvary. Just because we really like the gospel and we think it's central to what we do, we're going to start off with what the gospel is. The gospel is the glorious good news of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf to bring you to the Father, holy and blameless. There's a well that satisfies, and we're going to drink of it. There's no limit on how much you're allowed to drink. But let me tell you, one little drop will satisfy you and fill you with joy. So let's run to that well today. Psalm 16, we will read. I'm in Genesis 16, which is not correct. We're not going to read that. I'm going to turn to Psalm 16 real quick. Psalm 16, we're going to read the whole thing together, and then we're going to go verse by verse. One place we'll look at two verses together. Hear God's word. Preserve me, O God. For in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offering of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That'll preach on its own. Let's thank God for his word. Lord, thank you for your word. It is timely. It is needed. My heart needs this today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be overfilled. Flood us with joy and pleasures forevermore as we look to the Godhead. Father, thank you for decreeing. Jesus, thank you for accomplishing. And Spirit, thank you for applying it to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first part, he cries out, preserve me, keep me, O God. He looks to God and asks God to keep him, preserve him. He says, for in you I take refuge. There's an act of declaration. I have found that no other place or no other person should I take refuge in. He's asking God, who has kept him in the past, will keep him today and will keep him tomorrow, probably from past experiences, probably from hearing the stories of his fathers and his father's fathers, that God is the keeper. God is the one who is the fortress and those who can take refuge. God is the covenant keeper. God is the ark that rises when the flood rains are coming down. That's the one to go and look for refuge and ask that he would be kept. Keep me, O God. Preserve me. Give me preservation, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. He looks all around him and he says that the only good that he has seen comes from the hand of God. You know David. You know the kindness that he received from God the Father. You know also the caves that he spent many nights in. You know of his journey, and he looks and he says, I see good, I see the kindness of God, and it's come from your hand. And I have no good apart from you. The only good will be established from you. He goes on to say that it does his heart good to see the saints in the land, like we were discussing in Sunday school today, what the church is. It is the gathering, the assembly of the called out ones. And it does me good to see you, brother and sister, Brian. It does me good to see you. We confess in the same Lord. We are looking both to the refuge and the preservation of God. And so we rejoice in seeing each other today because you are looking to God and I'm looking to God. Mike, it does me good to see you. Like I'm filled with joy. We were talking this morning. Praise the Lord, it's Sunday. Why? Because we gather together with those who confess in the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name in heaven, on earth, that somebody should call that they might be saved. It is in Jesus Christ. And it does me good to gather with the brothers and sisters in Christ. David, there's no good apart from you. And he goes on to say, as for the saints of the land, they are the excellent one, is whom all my delight. He's filled up with joy and gladness with the saints and what God has not only done the good apart from you, but the good that's been given to you. You all, I see goodness of God and kindness of God. And it does, I see and I delight in how God is working amongst his people. He goes on to say, the sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Maybe an imprecatory prayer that he's praying here, but also he is definitely saying that I'm not going to isolate or assimilate with the world. But he's going on to say, like, I will have nothing to do with the ungodly. They are not brother. They are not sister. They have not confessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't find delight in their response and the call to submit and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My fellowship with them is one of evangelism. It is not one of fellowship. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offering of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. But he goes on in verse 5 through 11, and what I believe is a beautifully connected story here of looking at and teaching us today to ask the question of not only who is God, but who is God for us. We're going to see who David is saying, who God is for him, and I'm going to make the argument it's the same thing he is for you. For the non-believer in the room, it's the same thing he can be for you. And the only one who can be that. The Lord is my chosen portion. The Lord, and then he says, is my portion. And he says it's his chosen portion. Not begrudgingly or upset about it. It's his chosen portion. Portion and cup are going to be tied together, probably an inheritance kind of language. The Lord is his inheritance, is his chosen portion, it's his cup. So that who God is for David, it's his chosen treasure, it's his chosen inheritance, my portion, my cup. And he says, you hold my lot. Kind of like the idea of a lot being cast or dice being cast, showing the sovereignty of his chosen treasure. That God owns his lot. It will go on and describe it even further. So he says, you hold my lot. You are in control. When I'm out of control or in uncertain times, and I'm looking to, like, who can I seek refuge in? I'm seeking refuge in the one who holds my lot. Not only have you given an inheritance, but you hold my inheritance. That's good news. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Going back to that lot, that treasure, the lines, like, God, you've been gracious. You've been kind to me. The kindness of God has been on display. And the lines, the borders of this inheritance, every bit that you've given to me have been perfect. Like, you've controlled every bit of it, and the inheritance you've given me is wonderful. It is beautiful. Pleasant places, indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. All of that connected together, 5 and 6. My chosen portion, my cup, you hold my lot, the lines of the lot. They're pleasant places that I have landed in. I have a beautiful inheritance. And then he goes from there to say, and amen, like I bless the inheritance. I bless the cup. I bless, what does he say? He does not get confused to look at these things. He looks past the gifts to the giver. And he says, I bless the Lord. That's instructive for us. My dad gave me a hat. He has his license plate says, I'm never going to, T-Y, what is it? G. I'd have to write it out. Say it fast. You're doing it too. Okay. So it's thanks, God, I know you did that. That's his license plate. He's got a hat that he made for us that has it on there with Proverbs written on there so that people would just ask you what it means. But that's here what David is doing. Theo got his own hat now that says, thanks, God, I know you did that. And so it's instructive. Like, here's where we can get it. Here's, again, in the place of, he's saying that the Lord has established these things. And so he's blessing the Lord, saying, thanks, God, I know you did that. I know that this is from your hands. And he goes on to say, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. So not only has he given me these things, but he's given me wisdom. Think of James. Ask of the Lord who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let that man ask in faith without any wavering. Like, we should ask for wisdom, and God gives wisdom. But not only that, but as we're asking for wisdom, you keep on going here, and he says, like, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Like, he set the word of the Lord upon his heart. What's the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one, the Lord our God. And what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to bind it on their hearts. They're supposed to write it on their doorposts. They're supposed to talk about it when they rise up and when they lay down. As they walk by the way and as they, like he has bound God's counsel. And now when he wakes up at the watches of the night, what's it immediately do? His heart runs to his chosen portion, to his cup, his inheritance, and the lot holder that has given him beautiful lines that have established, like his heart. The counsel of God leads him to run quickly to God's counsel, and his own heart is instructing him in the ways of the Lord. Amen, believer? In the night also my heart instructs me. One of my favorite verses, I have set the Lord always before me. So we just talked about. As you rise up, when you lie down, his eyes are focused, single gaze on the Lord. And the Lord circles around and finds himself at his right hand as protector. As he is focusing on the Lord circles around to put himself at his right hand to be the protector and the rock that cannot be moved. Therefore, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. The word whole being, sometimes translated as soul, other places translated even as the word tongue. Like he is the wellings up of what is going on. It's his whole being, his soul, even his tongue can't keep quiet. Like it overflows into worship. I bless the Lord. Like my whole being, my tongue can't be quiet. I've got to sing of the Lord because of the Lord's goodness and kindness to him. My flesh also dwells secure. So his whole being is rejoicing, his soul rejoices, his tongue even rejoices, and now his flesh also dwells secure. So dwelling secure, you might think that that's only referring to like right now time of security and present day troubles, but David doesn't want you to just think about the preservation for the moment. He wants you to think of preservation for tomorrow as well. And he says a great phrase here that Jesus even sang that we have Peter singing in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 13 from this quotation here. He says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." The utter security that is available to those who find refuge in God is that your soul will not see corruption. Now, hold on a second. This is David before Easter. Hear me. This is David before Easter saying, my security is eternal. You and I should be able to sing this song even better post-Easter. Because our elder brother, Jesus Christ, is risen from the grave. And he went to the place of the dead, and there is no one but Jesus who could come and take the pains of death, the curse of sin, and remove them finally forever. A perfect sacrifice who have accomplished for us an eternal security, and you and I can scream out loud, we have security eternally. Jesus will return, trumpets will sound, and I will rise. Maybe before death, physically. Maybe after death. I will rise. He will make all things new. There will be no diseases. I will obey like the winds and the waves. I will have no distraction to my Creator's voice. When Jesus speaks, I will stand. I'll take all my labors that have turned to jewels. I will lay them at his feet, and I will sing a new song with the redeemed in the universal church that we talked about today, and we will sing a loud song. And God the Father will share that song with his Son who is seated with him right now. There is eternal security. Just to clear this up, this is the only eternal security available. There's no other way. There's no other name. There's no other hope. There's no other peace. There's no place for it to be found. Only in this God of the Bible. God, David's God. Who is God for David? God for David is his chosen cup. It's his chosen portion. The one who's in control and owns his lot. The one who has given him pleasant places that he's established in the falling of the lines, and a beautiful inheritance, the one whom David blesses, who gives counsel to David, and also has made it, the promises true, that his heart then is instructing him as he wakes in the night. He has set the Lord before him, and as he focuses on the Lord circles around to his right hand, and he is a rock that David shall not be shaken. Not just shaken now, but shaken for eternity. In the mystery of love and justice meeting together, he poured out all of his wrath on Jesus Christ, a perfect and spotless lamb, slaughtered and bloody on your behalf. And Jesus did not see corruption. Nor shall we. So from this, he says, verse 11, and you should memorize verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. There's not paths of life. There's not other ways. You have made known to me the path of life. And as he has made known to us the path of life, let me argue again, it's in the person work of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the well that will not run dry. This Jesus is the path of life. A gospel-rooted life connected by the Spirit of God to the gospel of God in Jesus Christ is the good news we talk about and gather around. He's made known to you the path of life, and not only to this group, but to all. Even creation is crying out the path of life. And then he says, and it's not a something of suffering. It's something of quality and length of joy. Listen to him and describe this. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. So believers, do you have fullness of joy? Are you welling up as your whole being, as your soul? Do you have fullness of joy? If you're struggling, because there are times where like disease and cancer and death, you can stare at it and you can be like, oh Lord, this is heavy. But just like we sang today, leave those burdens. There's nothing that heaven can't heal. The God of heaven is able to heal those things. Like, look to Jesus and be filled with joy. The church, gather around those who are hurting and weak and weary and tell them of Jesus who takes your cares and your burdens and is pleading on your behalf, the merit of his blood, before the throne of God. Like, let them see Jesus pleading the merits of Jesus before God the Father on your behalf and encourage them to run to joy. Be filled with joy. James, consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. Like even in the midst of trials, consider it joy. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. So it's full, the quality. And then he says, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This joy, that same thing that I just encouraged you with, throughout all eternity, why will the song not end? Because you will not ever be satisfied to continue to worship this God. It is forevermore. This joy will be everlasting for all eternity. And all eternity, you will sing the song full of joy that Jesus is my Redeemer. And that is good news. As a response, if you haven't already been responding, I pray that you've been responding even in as we've read the Word. in your mind's eye, picture with me, several wells, man-made wells, stacks of stone around a hand-dug well around the room. These wells represent idols, other places where people go for happiness and joy and gladness, other places where people escape from the uncertainty of today. Picture your wells. Don't just picture the wells of other people. Like, other people struggle with money. Like, that's their well, but I don't struggle with that. No, picture what your well is. I don't want to joke. I kind of do, because I do want to joke. It could be comfort foods. That was a joke because of my heavy set build. But I don't want you to not consider every single well. Could be alcoholism. Could be drugs. Could be your good name. Could be your garage, your man cave. Could be your family. Like, what have you tied your identity so closely to that if you were to lose it, it would unravel everything? That the brothers and sisters couldn't come around you and say, look to joy. What would the thing be that would unravel everything? Look to those wells around the room. And remember from past experience, remember from those, like Hebrews talks, look back to the people of Israel. Like, look back to their experience, look to your own. Like, those wells have been around, they'll be around tomorrow. People go and drink, you have gone and drank of those wells, and you're like, no, that didn't satisfy. And the devil whispers in your ear, it's just because you didn't have enough of it. Just take more of that well. So you try it again. I'll just have a little bit more of that well. If I just had a little bit more money, if I just had a little, maybe I just don't have enough of it. Or maybe it doesn't last long enough. Maybe I use drugs and that wears off, and so I just need a little bit more. It's not lasting long enough. Whatever those wells are, they will not satisfy. They will not give you gladness of heart. They will not give you joy. I propose, church, we propose, there is one satisfying well, and it is not handmade. It is a well dug deep by God the Father as He decreed, I will provide for myself that which I require, a perfect sacrifice. It was dug and it was established, and it is true. That well will never run empty. It will never be dry. That well is Jesus Christ. Take one drink. You'll be satisfied for all eternity. Who is God for you? Say it quietly with me. He is my chosen cup. He is my portion. He holds my lot. The lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. I have a beautiful inheritance. Bless the Lord. I've set Him before me. He has come to my right side. Because of that, I will not be shaken. His Holy One will not see corruption. He will not abandon me to Sheol. I have eternal security in Christ Jesus. He has made known to me the path of life. His presence is fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Regina's not in here. Let me tell you about my Jesus. It's a God thing that we sang those songs today. We got to tell you about Jesus. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, I plead with you, put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that you ask God for the grace to trust you more. Put more faith in Jesus Christ. Faith of a mustard seed will save you. Faith of two mustard seeds will make your whole being well up with joy. You'll explode in evangelism. Preach Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Light in the desert. Be filled with joy because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for Psalm 16. Thank you for David. Thank you for ministering to David. Thank you for his example. Thank you that there's a greater David, Jesus Christ, who is able to beat the greatest Goliath, which is our sin. And Lord, to bring us back home to you. Lord, I pray that you would return and return quickly, that we might be reunited with you in heaven, and that we might worship you, our fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.